Hello and welcome to Unsprawling, a very special episode of Unsprawling. Last time it was just Chris and I talking about general building news in Calgary, but today we are doing a recap of the first day of very, very many days, potentially an unending amount of days of this RCG public hearing. I am joined today by Christian LaVenture. Is that how I say your last name?
That's fine. Hello.
All right. All right. And Chris Chasson.
That's fine.
Okay. Okay. And Catherine Davies. Was that fine? Was that fine too? I hope so.
That was great.
I nailed it. I nailed it. There's one person in this group whose name I can say, and it's Catherine Davies. All right. So we're just going to kind of go through this. It's going to be a short episode of the show talking about what happened today. Does anybody want to briefly explain what is going on down at City Hall this week and potentially next week?
Sure, I can go. So the city is having a public hearing on a land use issue. And the city is in the habit of having these public hearings once a month where they will go through every single requested land use change one by one, and they have a debate on it, and then they approve nearly all of them. And so they're saying, instead of doing this every month, realizing that this is a level of density that is appropriate anywhere in the city, let's just make it legal across the city. And apparently it's a very controversial idea. So we're having a public hearing that really turns into an airing of grievances on both sides and a little bit of political theater to make the decision to whether or not to allow row houses, not apartment buildings, row houses by right everywhere in the city.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really, really a simple thing. And honestly, I'm a little bit shocked at how big of a deal has been made out of this. Because really, it's fine. Like, it's the height of these buildings that are potentially going to be just allowed by right. It's not a change from what is currently allowed. It's just saying we can add more front doors and have more housing for Calgarians. Now, the meeting started this morning at 9:30, kind of. We were ushered into the room, and there's a whole bunch of overflow, and the overflow included a lot of hooting and hollering throughout the meeting. But at the beginning of the meeting, Councillor Chabot brought up that potentially some of the councillors may want to consider recusing themselves. Christian, I know you caught that part. Do you want to briefly mention, like, what happened there?
Yeah, so Councillor Chabot wanted to raise a point for an overabundance of caution. That maybe any councillor should recuse themselves from voting on this, just in case they might have owned a couple more properties than maybe the average person. And personally, I was very excited because I kind of want to know which councillors own a lot of properties in like a selfish, yeah, you know, tabloidy kind of way. It kind of interests me, but I don't really see how it was relevant for the vote or the discussion at hand. It kind of seemed, yeah, random, and like an overabundance of caution was, I don't know, kind of seemed like a delay tactic. I don't know. What'd you guys think?
Yeah, it was kind of interesting. Chris, I want to hear your thoughts there.
You know, it's an interesting one because, you know, ostensibly we should know what properties councillors own through their disclosure forms that they're required to submit when they take office. They're supposed to list every property they own, as well as any property that a family member, an immediate family member, might own in the city as well. Except there's, from my understanding, pretty much no real enforcement mechanism for them to provide this information accurately. So you can go through every city councillor and see what they self-report as their property ownership within Calgary. And I've asked the question before of the ethics commissioner at the city of Calgary, like what happens, you know, if someone doesn't, you know, say every property, like, what do you guys check, like, tax documents? And they say, nah, we just kind of take them at face value. So yeah, there's always that self-report issue, I think, in any issue like this.
Yeah. And the legal advice that was given here, if I'm remembering correctly and understanding correctly, is that it's like kind of a by will thing. Like, they're told that, hey, you're supposed to recuse yourself, but there's no consequence. There's no, like, it's just kind of like, hey, if you feel like maybe you should say something and step aside and let the conversation proceed without you.
So what do you think Chabot was trying to achieve by doing this?
Yeah, I don't know. Catherine might have some insight into counsel that way.
Yeah, I don't really know either. I think it was a little bit of political theater, and I think there are some longstanding tensions among certain members of city council, but I don't really, I'm not the best source of gossip on that. So part of me thought it was a little bit silly, but also it's maybe a good thing to get out of the way at the beginning so that, you know, someone doesn't start tweeting near the end of the public hearing that, oh no, this is a big conflict of interest, and then it turns into a big thing. What I thought was more interesting, though, is that Councillor Chabot framed this as a decision that was being made that could benefit anyone who owned a second property, the assumption being that,
that was
that rezoning will confer benefits upon it, will be a beneficial act to a property owner. So I don't know what he meant by that.
Maybe there's some insight there that, you know, Councillor Chabot wants us to read between the lines.
It'd be nice if that's kind of part of what he was going for, maybe, is that this is beneficial to property owners and that all of the property owners who are speaking against this might want to reconsider some of their positions and ideas about this. But also, I think it probably has a lot to do with kind of appeasing his voter base and saying like, hey, I looked into it. We did our thing. You know, that's what I could do. That was the option. So they dealt with that. They went into a separate room and dealt with that while we were waiting in the gallery, just kind of waiting for them to come back and talking about what we're expecting to happen. After that was admin's presentation. Chris, I know you were there for that. Do you want to give us a quick rundown of kind of the vibes you got from admin?
I think that admin staff had done a great job collecting every grievance that anyone could possibly have about this rezoning. I think clearing up a lot of the misinformation that is often presented around what RCG zoning affords property owners when it comes to the redevelopment of their property, as well as the benefits that will be resulting from this this rezoning. I think they did a great job. I think they were very deferential. I think they had a great understanding of the political moment they were in, that, you know, they weren't necessarily going into an environment that people were going to, you know, cheer for their presentation. So I think they were deferential, but I think they got the information across really well.
I think they did a fantastic job, and they were specific about how they used the feedback that people have given them in order to kind of improve the ideas and maybe present more clearly what is going on in the city. Does anybody have any other thoughts on that presentation before we move on to our next item?
Yeah, I can jump in. So I missed
Catherine.
Part of the presentation, but from what I could tell and from what I heard, it was really good. It was very succinct. Like, city admin has done so much engagement on this over the past several months. I just can't believe how much time and energy has been poured into the engagement. And just a couple of things that came out of the... I had a chat with someone who was... She was so nice. I wanted to be her friend. She was wearing a no blanket rezoning button, but we had a very lovely chat. And she was like, well, council doesn't listen to us anyway. And I was like, well, they do. Like, they are legally mandated to, but they go through every piece of feedback. They write everything down. Everyone is heard. So I think it really points to how... like just how much effort they've put into this. I also think that it highlights just how well City Council has been briefed, because at the end of the day, they're the decision makers. They're the ones that actually have to take in all of this information, synthesize it, and come out with a decision. So I think it's interesting going into this hearing. I've heard, you know, there's been a lot of misinformation around there. Some people have some very strange ideas about what this is and is not. And so it's interesting to have an understanding of what council knows compared to what the public is bringing to council.
You're spot on with that. I think there's been a lot of great information about this, and there's been some misinformation. And hopefully over the course of this hearing, we can get some of the information, right? We can not only have a public hearing, but have a hearing public. Maybe. I want to talk about our rally that we did. All of us here are pro RCG. We're speaking for RCG. There was also a kind of rally for the people who are against RCG in the morning, and then in the afternoon around lunchtime, we had our little rally. And I want to talk about the diversity of people that we had there. We had Enam Teja from the Drop-In Center. We had Elizabeth McLennan from Calgary Alliance for the Common Good. Steve Bentley joined us from Calgary Climate Hub. Maya Kambites from the Norfolk Housing Association. And Mateusz Salmasi is the Vice President External of the University of Calgary Students Union. Can we talk a little bit about like the diversity of people that we see on that list and who have been coming out to speak in favor of RCG? Christian, what have you seen from that kind of diverse cast of characters coming out to support this?
Very well articulated points and a serious effort to engage with people. I think not to cast a blanket of shade over the opposition, but I feel like sometimes their public thoughts can be very intense and almost witch hunty. And from the pro side, I don't really see too much of that. I see a lot of talking about data, pointing to graphs, saying this is going to be fine, talking about the experience of the people they represent. And yeah, I just surrounded by good people, I think.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. Catherine, you've been working tirelessly with More Neighbors and kind of gathering like a lot of this coalition together and trying to organize in favor of the RCG rezoning of the city. Do you want to tell us a little bit about like the maybe some specific people or maybe some interesting stories that you've been able to see come out of this?
Sure. So these are all groups that we've been working with over the past few months. And, you know, More Neighbors goes back to the Housing Affordability Task Force that was unceremoniously rejected by City Council in June of last year. And it was and then subsequently they changed their mind and voted to accept it. But I think that was a real wake up call for a lot of people in the city. And so it became clear that, you know, there was some appetite to work on this and that it was going to have to be collaborative. So I think there was great representation in that group today. Obviously, students have been particularly hard hit by this. Students are really feeling it. And so the Students Union is very engaged on it. There was no one speaking from ACORN, but there were a lot of people from ACORN there. We all know renters are really feeling it. Calgary's Future, a great organization that represents some municipal union workers who are the people who drive our buses and need places to live. And, you know, Climate Hub, you know, all these groups that care about our city, care about our future. And we've all been working together over the past few months collaboratively to make this happen. So it was nice to be able to stand together with these other great people and voice our support for housing.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. And there's been some great news coverage of it. I just want to like highlight that like the Drop-In Center thinks that this is a good idea for housing. We talk a lot about RCG and about housing affordability and availability. And often I think in council chambers, a lot of people they argue that this isn't real affordable housing. This isn't going to help. This isn't actually going to do anything. But then you get the Drop-In Center being like, actually, this would be great. Please, please do this. Chris, what about what's been your experience working with the variety of people and seeing who's been turning up to this?
Well, I think, you know, we should also give credit to the diversity of opinions on the anti-rezoning crowd. Mm-hmm. You know, we saw homeowners of 3-bedroom houses, but we've also seen homeowners of 5-bedroom houses. So it really runs the gambit of opinions when it comes to the landed gentry on that side as well. I think that's what always stands out to me in all these conversations is that you don't really hear a lot of vulnerable populations, people who are struggling financially perhaps, that are against rezoning, that are against this. It seems like all the critiques tend to be from people who are doing pretty okay from what I can tell.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's get into the people who like are actually showing up and speaking there. Chris, I'm going to turn to you again for this because you spoke today. You actually like got your slot to speak to council and you were even asked a few questions. Can you tell us a bit about what that experience is like for maybe somebody who's listening, who's trying to keep up to date, but they're not sure they're going to sign up yet?
Oh boy, it was adrenaline-inducing. Frankly, I kind of showed up just thinking like, yeah, I'll kind of wing it. I'll just kind of riff for a bit. And then the moment the first panel goes on, people have these really succinct and well-prepared statements. And so I was fiddling away in the council chambers, just like, I gotta put something of substance into this. And I don't know, it was great. I, of course, you hear people you don't always agree with. But I think that for the most part, most speakers today were, I think, speaking calmly, seem to have at least shared priorities around Calgary and the fact that there is a housing crisis. I think there was maybe some disagreement around, you know, what the most effective policy might be to, approach this crisis. But yeah, for the vast majority, I would say that Calgary was very well behaved today would be my assessment.
Yeah, I'd be inclined to agree with that. Christian, were there any specific speakers who stood out to you as particularly insightful or helpful on this issue?
Oh man, I forget what panel he was on, but did anyone catch what Hai said?
Yes.
As perspective as an international student, I thought, when someone's voice wavers and it's not because they're nervous, but because they're delivering something really emotional from the heart, I think that can resonate with, even the most staunch people opposite from you, because they know it's coming from a place that's real. And if you look in the background of that video, you have two opposing voices who were about to speak, kind of listening to what Hai was saying. And I like to think that maybe it gave them a new perspective that they don't often see with whatever media bubble they may find themselves in. And so if nothing else, I think that was positive. But yeah, I mean, great speech, and that one resonated with me especially well.
I think that's... Go ahead, Chris.
There's a significant chance that, that was the first time that so many people opposed to this have even ever heard the perspective of an international student. Massive credit to Hai for getting get up on that stage.
Yeah, well, and even, I mean... Even for me, like, I've met Hai, I know Hai, but I've never heard that perspective before. So I think these public forums, these public hearings, are a great place for people to, like, talk about what's going on in the city and what they see. And I think when you pay attention to all of the people who are speaking from any side that they're coming at it from, you might gain some interesting and potentially valuable insight into the city that you're building. Catherine, did you have anything that stood out to you today?
There were so many. One that actually, so I went back through the stream and watched a couple of things, and the person who kicked it off right at the very beginning, I thought it was a very compelling presentation, and he said,
"Yeah,
like this has been painted as like a progressive sort of left-wing thing." But he said, "I'm a conservative, and here are all the conservative reasons that I support this." And, I agreed with every single one. And I think the bipartisan nature of this housing debate is so interesting, because we do have staunch conservatives involved in More Neighbors and some bleeding heart liberals. And we all tend to agree that we need more housing, we need less red tape. You can frame it in all kinds of different ways, but it is really a bipartisan issue. I too was just incredibly moved by Hai's presentation, and that's something that will probably stay with me for a long time.
Yeah, it really was great, and I recommend people go back and check it out. But I want to touch on this idea of it being a bipartisan issue, because it really is. You got all these bleeding heart liberals concerned about like housing the poor and helping out in that way, and then you have all these strict conservatives thinking like, hey, what about my property taxes, and how is this going to affect the way that our councillors spend their time? Right, we're talking about councillors spending so much time on these RCG upzoning requests from different builders as they come in, and then 95% of them get approved anyways. And so really it is a bipartisan issue, and I'm frankly a little bit shocked how many people who would call themselves conservatives don't show up to speak in favor of this. And I don't really know how that happened or why that happened, but it is a little bit surprising. I'm not sure if anybody here has any insight into that.
Oh, sorry. I feel like I'm talking a lot, but I do. So I was,
go ahead.
I was chatting with someone who identifies as a conservative, and I said that exact same question, like, why aren't more conservatives showing up to speak about the conservative case for this? And just, sorry, to go back to one thing you said, a lot of conservative people also care about housing the homeless. So,
oh, 100%. Yeah, I'm not saying they don't. I just say those are kind of like
stereotypical
two things that you might, like characteristic, yeah, caricatures.
I just want to be careful, and, you know, for all the conservatives, yeah, watching this. So I was chatting with someone about this. This was a while back, and I was like, why aren't more conservatives coming to talk about the free market and, you know, market forces and competition? And he was like, well, when it comes to housing, when it comes to your neighborhood, a lot of this violates the first rule of conservatism, which is that nothing must ever change. And I don't think that's a purely conservative thing, but you really see that. I think it's definitely a generational thing. So you can't have not noticed the demographic difference in the,
yeah,
support and opposition. And these are people who have lived in their neighborhoods for a long time, and they're, you know, very, it's an important part of their identity. And then suddenly there's this specter of change, and it is legitimately it can be very unsettling for a lot of people. And so anyway, I thought that observation was interesting. The first rule of conservatism is that nothing must ever change. So
I liked your statement of identify as conservative, because I think that's so much a part of it, where, you know, whatever the ideological underpinning of the movement might be as a whole, I think, you know, politics is more and more this team sport. And as soon as you know, hear from the certain leaders of a party that, you know, we're not against this, maybe, you know, I know MP McLean was voiced opposition to the rezoning, for instance. I think people are just willing to fall in line if that's what the party's telling them to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think,
go ahead.
It's also,
or Christian.
It's okay. It's so confusing, this name with two different Chris, Christian, who can keep track. I was also surprised, and I was at the Glenmore Landing hearing too, about the amount of progressive people who are opposed to blanket rezoning. I think it kind of throws a little bit of a blendy poo into what you might consider like typical left or typical right opinions. And on the other point, the amount of people who had more conservative viewpoints advocating for stuff like social housing and transit density along corridors and stuff that maybe traditionally has only been in progressive circles. So I feel like this area is moving, and the people within it are trying to find their place, and they're all motivated by maybe specific individualistic reasons that can't really be gleaned with like these blanket definitions of what camp they fall into. And that is what makes the decision probably a little bit more confusing for people on council who may be used to, leaning into a certain member of the political spectrum a little bit more.
I think you're spot on with that, because change is scary, right? Like, no matter what end of the political spectrum you are, change can be very uncomfortable, especially when you might not fully understand it. You don't know what you can expect. And I liked what Holly said. She was on panel 7, if anybody wants to go back and check that out. She said, I wish I could take them for a walk through these areas just to see that, like, it's fine. Like, it's okay. People are happy here. People live here and enjoy their lives here. Is there any way that you guys think it is possible that maybe we could take people for a walk and maybe, you know, share this with them and maybe show them that, hey, like, this, I know change is scary. I know things are going to be uncomfortable, especially if it's going to happen right next to you. But like, it's okay. It's not a bad thing. Do you guys have any thoughts on that, Chris?
I figure if I just tweet at them enough, they'll change their mind. No, of course not. The only way to ever achieve any sort of like a harmonious conversation across the aisle is through one-on-one conversation. I had plenty of very pleasant conversations today with people who, you know, I have policy disagreements with. I think that, like, what is becoming more and more difficult with the conservative end of the political spectrum is that And you would hear this if you were sitting in council or in the overflow room, is just a general distrust of everything and anything. I would hear this often, especially when, say, someone in the developer community or admin staff was talking, was people chattering in the background saying like, well, yeah, right, sure. Well, that's what you say now. And I don't know exactly what has caused this to become such a big issue, but, you know, you can, doesn't matter how many times you point towards the bylaw and say, well, you know, RCG is only going to allow for, you know, this height limitations, this number of units, that, you know, you'll still just hear back from them like, ah, well, that's what you say now. It's going to be freaking Empire State Building next week. So I don't really, it feels like we're in this cultural movement where all this mass media that is, you know, there people are consuming. I think it's still possible. I think that reasonable conversation is possible, but definitely feels like it's getting harder and harder.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're spot on. Catherine, you look like you have a thought.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I think I might've mentioned that I read through a lot of the public submissions, which I don't know if I would recommend. And there was this through line of government mistrust, like, you know, the city is lying to us. We can't trust the city. And even to the point of saying, oh, well, the city council doesn't have the democratic legitimacy to make this decision, like to adjust this very basic land use policy, which is actually something that they are allowed to do. I love the line over and over again. Well, this was part of no one's campaign. Like, no one campaigned on this. So, like, it's not how politics works. But yes, this element of government mistrust or mistrust of the city, this I feel like is something we haven't seen as much in other jurisdictions. You know, not in quite the way that we're seeing it right now in Calgary.
Yeah, it's kind of It's kind of interesting, and I want to point to one lady who had kind of like a sad experience. I guess she grew up in a Soviet state, and saw homes bulldozed and replaced with these like concrete towers and stuff. And she brought that into council and brought this as a concern. And Councillor Meehan asked her like, "Hey, you know, like, you own your home. Like, nobody is going to force you to tear it down. We're not going to tear it down for you. Like, this is your property and you can do with it what you like." And she kind of like, she had this response, like, Meehan was like, "You own your property." And she says, "Well, I don't know who owns my property. I have the title, but I think maybe the city or the government owns it." And I think it's really concerning. And obviously this lady brought a lot of trauma into her experience at council today. But I think that distrust and just like just not knowing what to expect and maybe not being familiar with what you might expect in a situation like that, like, it can be scary.
Did you guys see or hear when Mr. Landon Johnston called in? Did you guys catch that?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
That was the highlight for me. It was right when I came into the council chambers, and there was something so ominous about having his voice ring through, threatening the jobs of all these city councilors. And he started name checking specific city councilors that he like was thumbs up with, like that he liked. And you could see them just rolling their eyes, like they were upset that they had Landon's endorsement. And I think, you know, I think that is such an interesting political episode in Calgary, especially was, and you know, all this kind of rhymes and, you know, has supported itself, but like just kind of this general notion that like, you know, if we don't agree with you right in this moment, then we have the right as citizens to do whatever it takes to remove you from office and exert our political will. Like, you see the same strand of behavior through this rezoning conversation, through the recall of Gondek, you know, through any sort of trucker protests. It seems like the right is becoming very, very practiced with enforcing their own sort of like vitriolic blend of political advocacy to, if not change policy, at least make people's lives a little more difficult.
And I wouldn't even say that it's just the right either. I think people broadly need to get outside a little bit and touch grass. Mm-hmm. Like, the world is not as scary as you might think it is. I make friends on the bus. I make friends walking down the street. I met my neighbor the other day when I was petting her dog, and I was like, oh yeah, I just moved in December, and we chat for a little bit. And then I stop at the local bakery and I chat with the people there, right? I think if we get out of our bubble a little bit and just talk to the people in front of us, like we've all talked about today, talking to people who had opposing views down at City Hall today. And that most of these people are perfectly lovely. They're perfectly normal people. And I think if we do that a little bit more, as Holly said, if we take people for a walk a little bit more, we might come to appreciate them. Even if we have opposing views, I think we'll make each other a little less scary. I want to get final thoughts from each of you guys as we go forward here. Christian, we'll start with you.
It's gonna be a long process. Kind of exciting to see what other kind of presentations mm-hmm. are, you know, in store for us. I think what I am most concerned about is people who they're working all day. It's hard to feed a family these days. Who has time to pay attention to city politics? You know, most people don't. Yeah. And so how are they getting their information? They're getting it distilled mostly through social media or maybe some news sites that they follow. And sometimes those news sites aren't going to report accurately. And especially those social media clips are going to skew things in a way that isn't. I guess I'm worried about this being a spectacle that feeds a media cycle that makes things worse in the future. Does that make any sense? And do you guys... is this a concern everyone shares? Because right in the middle of the hearing, I'm already seeing clips being repurposed on social and being amplified by really popular kind of populist accounts. And it's like, you know, it's like a premeditated media strategy. And I think it all, it doesn't happen by accident.
Yeah, I think people will use it to kind of whip up support for their side. I mean, I'm going to be doing that this week with clips from the speakers we've sent to council and hoping that other people see, you know, what Chris has said, what Hai has said, what Holly has said, and said, like, you know what, I do support RCG. I think I'm going to show up this week and support that. We'll go to Catherine next.
Yeah, Christian, I think that's super interesting, and I don't spend a lot of time on social media, so I'm not seeing these videos, and it sounds a bit scary. this is a debate about zoning, but I think in some ways it's become a proxy war for some larger things, mm-hmm. and so I feel like we get through this hearing, we do our best, and we hope that it passes, but then I think it's maybe the beginning of a lot of other things. Like I don't feel like it's going to be a happy resolution however it ends, which sounds a bit pessimistic. So
completely accurate though. I think that's the world we live in for sure. Yep.
Yeah
and it'll be an ongoing conversation here on this recap show. Chris, your final thoughts?
I hope everyone, you know, caffeinates properly. I think that we're definitely going to see a declining interest from the councillors in asking questions as the week goes on. Yeah. There were a couple of panels today where they were really grilling. So it's going to be curious how their energy levels, decline. But it should be a wild ride. And, you know, if you haven't signed up to speak yet, you absolutely should, or show up to council or, talk to your parents about why they should support rezoning. Have conversations about it, because that's the only way we're ever going to figure this out is if we all talk about it.
Yeah, this is going to be a very long public hearing. We'll be bringing you nightly or morningly, I guess these will come out in the morning, updates to keep you posted on what's going on. And like Chris said, we'd love for you to sign up to speak. There is still time. There are over 150 panels now of people to speak. You can speak over the phone or in person. And they also kept the public written submissions open for this public hearing, which they don't normally do. So stay tuned for that, and we'll be back with more tomorrow.